Thank you, worship team. What a wonderful presence of the Lord. So sweet. And the Lord said to Peter, come forth and you will have eternal life. But unfortunately, he came fifth and only won a toaster. I thought you scousers appreciated a joke. If I ever get a good one, I'll make sure I share it. But anyway. Today's sermon, life is like a river. We'll start with 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'm going to take two small passages out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You probably know them very well. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Moving forward, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, verse 17 now, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen. We all recognize, particularly at this time of year, that things need to change. We set resolutions, and if we're honest, by about the third week of January, we've broken most of them. I saw this great picture of an old lady that was at the gym, and it said, I'm going to try to drink less and go to the gym more. And she had a glass of whiskey in her hand sitting on top of exercise equipment. And she says, at least I got to the gym. You see funny pictures and memes all the time around this year because people's hearts really do want to change. We want to see something different, don't we, as we enter into a new year. We see new me, you know, new year, new me messages all over the internet. In fact, advertising on Amazon, you see the very first banner you come across is a picture of a really fit, athletic young lady running. And it gives you the impression that somehow you're supposed to be like her, fit and athletic. And if we just sell you enough stuff, then you'll get fit and athletic at this time. Because, you know, in our hearts, we know that things perhaps aren't quite right. And we need to change. So reflecting on this, I feel like we can ask the Lord some questions that will not be like resolutions, but will lead to things in our hearts actually developing and changing. And these four questions are these. What from last year, Lord, are we supposed to retain? What are we supposed to renew? What are we supposed to let go of, and what are we supposed to add? And I want to talk about those things today because we are constantly changing. Time and life is like a river. A Greek philosopher, Heraclitus, said, no one steps in the same river twice. Now you might say, that's stupid, I've stepped in the Mersey loads of times. But you're missing the point. As the water is flowing constantly through that river, every step you take in it is a different river. There's a different part of the river that's actually meeting your ankles as you're stepping in. And you know what? Life is just like that. The person that you see in the mirror yesterday is not the same person that you see in the mirror today. And you know what? If you're over 24, I've got some bad news for you. Your molecular regeneration rate is slower than your decay rate. So you're literally disintegrating every single day. Really sorry about that. I don't think I quite squeeze into the under 24 category anymore. If you're under 24, rejoice! Your molecular structure is renewing faster than your decay rate. Ain't that great news? Sadly for the rest of us. So even though the outward man is perishing, do you know what our great news and hope is? That the inward man can be renewed day by day into maturity. in Christ. Because the only constant in our lives is change. Every moment is new. Every moment. This is why you don't have to wait till a new year to make a positive change. Because every moment is new. And you know what? The mercies of the Lord are what every morning? New. Great is his faithfulness. If we want something not to change, look at God, who is the great rock and redeemer. Hallelujah. But we're supposed to change. That's the way that we have been designed. As followers of Christ, we should be being renewed day by day. And these four questions, I think, will really help. So to look at the first one, what are we supposed to retain? I don't know what your 2018 was like. Mine was a bit of a mixed bag, I'll be honest. There was highs, lows, and probably more lows than high, if I'm being honest. It was a tough year for us as a family. I lost my great aunt, the last of her generation, my grandma's generation, only a few weeks before Christmas. And it was hard saying goodbye to that generation and watching it pass on. And, you know, we've had loss, we've had tough times. I've slept on a landing for 2 months. Lack of sleep makes you really grumpy, I'm telling you. And, you know, so when I look back on 2018, I can ask the Lord, what from that should I retain? And for me, I found a new capacity of compassion and of love that I've never had before. I looked square in the face of the latent frustration and anger that I hold and confronted it with God. And you know what? I'm going to take that into 2019. Because if year by year we learn nothing, if year by year we just let that year go past without taking something that the Lord has imparted to us from it, what a waste of a year. I don't know about you, but I recognize as I get older the brevity of life. Blink and it's gone. Whoever said this saying that with kids, days seem long, but years seem dead short, man, they got that spot on. Ellie and Joe have now been with us over 6 years. In a few days, I will have been in Liverpool 8 years. Where did they go? How fast did it go? But boy, have I grown in that time. Have I developed in that time? Have I retained in that time? I want to invite Tom to come and share a brief testimony. You know, through hard times, we can retain something and take it forward. And I've asked Tom just to share a brief testimony of how he's changed over 2018. Tom, if you would please.
I can't wait till I'm 24. I want to share a couple of things, really. I don't need to share too much with you because I've already shared what our journey is, you know, with dementia. And many of you are actually sharing that journey with us already, aren't you? You know, either on Facebook or just face-to-face, really. It's great to have that love and support. We're in a season now where I guess that neither of us expected to be, and certainly neither of us really wanted to be. But God's got different plans for us, hasn't he? There's two things I'd like to briefly share that I think are at work in me, that are changing me, that are, that God's at work in me with. And the first thing is hope. Hope is a great thing, isn't it? Not just hope, but hope in God. Trusting in him leaning on him and looking to him for everything. I read this, I pinched this lovely poem. It's from Frontline Church, actually, but I don't know if you might not have read it, but it speaks volumes to me. And it says this: hope is defiant. It looks negative emotions and circumstances in the eye and stands tall. Hope will not be cowed or bowed. Hope will not be oppressed or suppressed. Hope will rise, though all else cries despair. Hope will hope against hope and break through to seize the impossible. Hope stands on certainty and builds for eternity. Hope silences the cynic and causes the sorrowful to sing. Hallelujah. Hope heals the past and redefines the future. Hope lifts the head and strengthens the heart. Hope proclaims a new day because the sun has risen. Hallelujah. And the second thing I wanted to talk about just briefly is having a grateful heart. It sounds almost like contradictory, doesn't it? In circumstances like we are facing, that you want to be thankful for it. But actually, I have found that having a thankful, grateful heart is the most powerful thing at work in me. It's a heart that chooses to give God everything, all the praise, all the glory, all the honor, because of who he is and what he's done for us. I heard a preacher say the other day that if we don't preach the gospel to ourselves every day, we cannot truthfully preach it to other people. And you need to tell God every day who he is to you and what he's done for you. That's preaching the gospel to yourself. And thankfulness is a powerful antidote to the trials and challenges we all face. Pauline, put those words up. I'm just going to indulge myself just a little bit. So how many know this song? Right, just stand up then. Stand up. Because we're going to sing it without instruments, okay? And you know, Pauline, put the chorus up just for a sec. Just put the other one up, the chorus. Right, it says there, and now let the weak say I am strong, let the poor say I'm rich, because of what God's done for us. It's amazing that, isn't it? Right, okay, just put the first part up again, Pauline. I'm just going to start it. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. Give thanks. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tom. Hallelujah. Great song. So Tom is retaining thankfulness, gratefulness, and hope. That year hasn't been wasted. That year has been a year of deep growth, deep humility. So I'm asking you, what is the Lord asking you to retain from 2018? The next question, what does the Lord want me to renew? Since we are in a process of change, since life is like a river, what we practice needs to adapt and change with us. I'm not the same person I was 20 years ago. I have developed as a person in my faith, in my belief system, in the way that I relate to people, in the way that I attempt to treat people. And so have you. If you haven't, then there's a real problem. If you are stuck in the 70s, as good as they may have been, you have a problem if you're still there. Every time I read scripture, I see God working in different ways. New, all the time. If you want to know what imagination and creativity is like, look at the works of God. Because he doesn't seem to do the same thing twice. He just seems to blow everybody out of the water with how he does things. Always new, always creative, always dynamic, and always pointing to Jesus. And so should we. You know, whilst we continue to adopt the practices of prayer, of worship, of meditation on scripture and reading it, maybe some of that needs to be renewed this year. Maybe we need to take God out of the box that we construct for him and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal something new about Jesus to our hearts. We're so good at creating boxes. We like things to be certain, to have firm boundaries. But you know what? I've never seen God get in a box. I've never found a box that can contain him. So don't put boxes around the practices of worship, the practices of prayer. If your prayer routine has become so habitual that it's lost its life, it's time to bust out of that box. If your praise life involves singing one song on the way to work, and it's the same song over and over, you know what? It's time to bust out of that box. Because the Holy Spirit wants to take those things that were once habitual and dead and renew them again. Who wants to be renewed? Come on. Do you believe that the Holy Spirit can renew things with you? Yes. Who's the one that's waiting for this renewal? We are. But we think that God's going to somehow just come and renew us independently of our will, and that's not the way that it works. God engages with us as we walk with him. There has to be some intentionality. Here's the challenge for you. I may get stoned for saying this. I don't really care. Why don't you ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the feminine nature of God? I would wager that some people have never really thought about God in the feminine. As a challenge, why don't you ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, reveal to me the feminine nature of God. He created us male and female. In his image, he created them. God has female characteristics. And many times, again, theological boxes, we've made God a white, bearded, old man. And you know what? I don't think he's like that at all. I think he's far more, far, far more. And I want to challenge you. Break out the box. Lord, what would you have me renew? We want revival. Man, the amount of prayer lists that I've read that say revival is going to break out this year, and then another year goes past, and revival is going to break out this year, and then another year goes past. I would settle for us being revived. I would settle for me being revived and an agent of revival here in our midst. Wouldn't you? That scripture that Rob talks about, Lord, won't you revive us again? Psalm 65 and the kiddies. That's my prayer for this year. Lord, renew us from the inside out. Let the old patterns, the ones that have become lifeless rituals, let them be reborn the way that Holy Spirit, you want to do it. There are a couple of disciplines that I think can help with this. The first is this. Making time to spend with Jesus. Now, this sounds dead obvious, doesn't it? But, you know, it's great to believe the things that we believe about our life, our identity, our sense of worth. But you know what? Knowing them up here is no good. We need to experience those at the feet of Jesus. We need to allow him, in our time spent with him, to so love on us that those words that he speaks to us become life-giving. I can preach till I'm blue in the face that you are valuable to God, worth immeasurably. You're like the treasure. That you are called and destined. But unless you sit yourself at the feet of Jesus and hear it from him directly, it won't have any effect upon you at all. You need to experience that as you spend time with Jesus. This is where the treasure that's in our earthen vessels is found. We don't somehow generate it. It's given by God as a gift as we spend time with us. And out of the overflow of our hearts, that's how we pass it on. That's how we make it known. Hallelujah. If you think that spending intimate time with Jesus is a 15-minute ritual in the morning, break out of that box. Break out. Don't settle for that. Don't settle for that. God's got far more for you than that. Every experience that we have with God can be truly unique by the power of the Holy Spirit. I really believe that. Again, we frame loads of things within our own expectation. Our expectation makes a box. We come to church, and I bet you every one of you were expecting roughly what we've got today. But I would say to you, throw that expectation away. Because if you want to experience the Holy Spirit new, you have to get rid of that box. Come expectant for God to speak through you. Come expectant for God to use you as a part of the body to minister to other parts. Not just me or the worship team, whoever's leading the meeting. Come not to consume, but to be a participator in and with. If we can get out of that expectation box, I believe God will do loads of stuff, immeasurably above all that we can imagine or even think. The second discipline that will help with the question of, Lord, what do you want me to renew, is this: practicing responding to the presence of God in the now. I can't live in the future. As the river runs by, the future becomes now. I can only respond to God in the now, meet with God in the now, experience the power of his presence in the now, because I can't do that in the future until that future becomes the now. And I can't live based upon the experiences of the past. As much as you guys love talking about the charismatic renewal, I wasn't there. I'm sorry. And I love hearing your stories of what God did, but I can't go back and experience that. I can't. It It's impossible. And you can't go back and experience that either. You can only resolve in your heart to allow the Holy Spirit to meet with you in the now and respond to him in the now based upon the love and the grace that he has for you now. If we can become more aware of God's actual presence, it'll change everything. Because what we do, if we're really honest, is we become functional atheists. What am I saying by that? I'm saying that we come here on a Sunday and we expect to meet with God. But then we walk alone the rest of the week thinking that God isn't there. But he is. Because he's promised never to leave us and never to forsake us. So God's always with us. And if God's always with us, then we can always be meeting with him in the present, in the now. And it's in the now that we can hear from the Holy Spirit. Go and speak to that person and encourage them. Go and sit with them over there who are lonely. Go, give so-and-so a ring. They need your encouragement today. Or come sit at my feet. Let's have a joy time together. It's only in the now that we meet with the Lord. So practice being aware of his constant, faithful presence. Cultivate in you an attitude of yieldedness to the Holy Spirit. It takes practice. It doesn't come easy. It's not going to come overnight. But if you incline your heart to say, here I am, Lord. I'm with you now, Lord. What do you want to say? What do you want to do? Then the reality of Jesus being the center of our lives starts. Because we can say Jesus be the center of our lives all day, but if we're not practicing that presence in every single moment, then he's not really Lord, not of our lives. Let's be honest now. If we think about God on a Sunday and forget about him the rest of the week, then he is not the center of our lives. You know what? This is what it means to go higher or deeper or have deeper roots, whatever your vernacular is around that. For me, it's about aligning to the reality of God in the present. Because he's always there. I don't have to go looking for God as much as I need just to remind myself that God is actually here. And when I do that, I experience something. Something in my heart changed. I experienced the peace and the joy of the Holy Spirit, and so do you. Let's become aware and practice responding to God in the present. And I tell you what, that's an act of gratitude as well. Question 3, what does the Lord want me to let go of? Ephesians 4, 22 to 24 says this. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Loads of times in Paul's epistles do we see, let go, let go, let go the old man, put down, put away, all this terminology. So what would the Lord have you put away from 2018? You know, I think God in his grace sometimes leaves things a while before he then points a finger at it and says, now it's time to let go. I think personally, and you know, don't take this as theology or whatever, but I think sometimes we're just not ready to let go of some stuff until we are. And at that point, God says, okay, now it's time. Now there's the grace for it. Now let it go. Let it pass. It might be a habit. It might be an attitude. It might be some kind of relational dysfunction. It might be something good. You know, not everything that God calls us to let go of is bad. Sometimes it may be a ministry, laying it down once again before God. Sometimes it may be a position. Sometimes it may be authority, and as you lay it down, somehow God gives you something new to take up in its place. And I was thinking today, in fact, in the prayer meeting, I spoke about it, but you know, there's no retiring in God's kingdom. We cannot afford as a body of believers to have a retirement mentality whereby you in your heart say, as an older member of this church, I've been there, done that. Because even though your outward person is perishing, Your inward person is being renewed. And I tell you, there's something on the inside of you that is gold that needs to be, it needs an outlet. Otherwise, your river becomes a pond and becomes stagnant and stale. Algae grows all over it, and man, it's ugly. Sorry. But when it's a river, when it's flowing in and out, yeah, I tell you what, you are going to find a thrill again. Don't get bored with your Christian life. Don't. You don't have to be. And I appreciate that you may not physically be able to do the things that you once did. But that doesn't mean you hide your treasure. No. Get it out. Farm it. Use it. Glorify God with it. Find a way. Because there's always a way. It might be as simple as just taking someone under your wing from a younger generation and saying, you know what? These are the things that I've learned over life. Let me pass them on to you. It might be just being faithful to support somebody. You know, a weekly phone call or something where, let me tell you, some of the most profound times for me have been when older people that have been in the Lord longer than me have sat down with me and just shared some great nuggets. Man, I've grown so much from stuff like that. And these weren't people that were physically running around left, right, and center doing stuff. They just allowed the treasure that was inside of them to find an outlet. And so I encourage you to do the same, because there's no retiring in God's kingdom. You move from glory to glory to glory until you're in glory, and that's just the way it is. One of my favorite parts of the week is sharing with Geraldine. I love you, Geraldine, you're right. We have a sit down once a week, and we just talk to each other about God and what God's speaking to us. And man, it's a thrill to my heart. It's life. And, you know, Geraldine's a lot older in the faith than me and comes at things in a different angle. And I learn from her, and hopefully she learns from me. And it's life-giving. I see Geraldine there every week on the reception there at Little Angel serving. I see Alan running around like crazy, in his mid-70s. People who just will not let that treasure die. They won't let themselves fall asleep in the Spirit. So Lord, what would you have me let go of? So that number four, Lord, what can I add? What do you want me to add? I don't know, maybe you've done a study, a Bible study for however many years, and maybe God wants you to lay it down and take it up. Maybe you've done a ministry for many, many years and God wants you to lay it down and take something new up. I don't know. You need to go to the Holy Spirit with these things. I don't have your answer. I'm just saying, ask the Lord that question. Because, you know, for everything that God asks you to lay down, I think he's got something better for you to take up. Amen? Can you believe that? Even if your picture of God has become tired, old, and uncompelling, Lord, what would you have me add that will revive that? Oh, hallelujah. I think that's all I need to say. I'm going to summarize it as follows. If we stay curious, if we stay hungry, if we adapt, if we renew, we will be alive, awake, growing in our faith and practice. If we let old patterns dictate our future behavior, we'll get rigid and spiritual growth will be stunted. So use these questions. Lord, what do you want me to retain? What do you want me to renew? What would you have me let go of? And what would you have me add? In order to move your faith forward in the name of Jesus. Amen.